You think about that. You know, sometimes we're so blessed in life that we don't even know we're blessed. And boy, that's good. How good God is to us that we're so blessed we can't even keep track of all the blessings that He gives us. And boy, it's just a miracle every time we turn around. The fact you and I woke up this morning, got health in our body, and got able to get up and come out to church this morning, that's a miracle in and of itself right there. And if you've got health this morning, you ought to be praising God. There's a lot of folks down at the nursing homes right now and in the hospitals and in different places that don't have the health you and I do, and we ought to be praising God for our good health. If you've got good mind up here in your head, you'd be praising God for that, because there's a lot of folks that have a lot of things going on and a lot of cares of life and a lot of burdens that's weighing them down and worries and things. But if you've got a good mind about you, you know, be praising God for that. And I read something the other day, a young lady that I know, she said, "Boy, I'll be glad when I get over to the other side," and said, "I won't have to worry about money then." And I said, "Well, that's true." I said, "But you know what?" I said, "You don't have to worry about it on this side neither. Because God says in Matthew 6:33, He says, 'But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto thee.'" I said, "You know what?" I said, "You worry about serving God and serving God right, and you let Him worry about your finances." Boy, I pray somebody would amen that this morning. Hey, we're in church. You can amen. Bless God. That's where we go, ain't it? Hey, I'm glad that I don't have to worry about things. You know what? Last time I checked, I still had clothes on my back. I know all of you are glad for that, too. Last time I checked, I had a roof over my head. You know what? Praise God. The last time I checked, I had food in the cupboards at home. I'm blessed this morning. Y'all blessed, too, this morning. Amen. Aren't you glad you saved and on your way to heaven? Well, I thank God for that this morning. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Genesis chapter 43 this morning. Genesis chapter 43, and we're going to read the last number of verses in the chapter, get through this chapter. We're going to begin in verse number 25, and we'll go through verse 34. If you found your place in the Word of God, and you can, we certainly want to ask you to stand. Let's honor the reading of God's Holy Word this morning. I do want to say it's good to have Sister Evelyn with us this morning. I know she's had a tough time with her back. But she had some surgery done and been recovering, and she's come along pretty nicely. And I'm glad for that. You continue to pray for her. She doesn't have any feeling in one of her legs. But slowly over time, hopefully the nerves will regenerate themselves and she'll get feeling back in that leg again. But it's just good to have her and Brother Don back with us this morning, and how much of a blessing that is to us. Genesis chapter 43, verse number 25. The Bible says, "And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, 'Is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive?' And they answered, 'Thy servant our father is in good health, he is yet alive.' And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, 'Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?' And he said, 'God be gracious unto thee, my son.' And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, 'Set on bread.' And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians." Boy, you could preach on racism right there, couldn't you? "And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him." Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you. Lord, we are truly, truly blessed this morning. God, so blessed in so many areas, God, we simply just don't know. But God, I'm glad that you love us. And I'm glad you loved us so much that you sent Jesus down, Lord, to this earth. God, he left the glories of heaven and came down and took on the likeness of man. God, he bore our sins on an old rugged cross. Lord, he willingly shed his blood so that we could be washed clean. God, I thank you for that. Lord, there could be someone here today, and Lord, most likely in a crowd this size there is. Lord, they stand today lost and undone and on their way, God, to a devil's hell. God, I pray, Lord, that you might speak, Lord, words of grace unto them today. God, let them know, my Father, just how much you love them. Lord, how it is not your will that they would perish. God, that your will is that they would be born again by your Spirit. Lord, they would know what this thing's all about that we shout about, God. Lord, I pray that before this service is over today, God, that you might draw them to this old-fashioned altar today, God, in repentance and calling upon Jesus. Lord, that they might be saved. God, help us, I pray, that we might be ready in the day when you would call us. Lord, so many leave this life every day, God, not prepared. Lord, I pray, help us to be ready. God, we're not getting ready. But God, help us to be ready. And Father, we'll love you and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. It is evident from a careful study of the record of Joseph that Joseph is one of the fullest types of the Lord Jesus Christ found in Scripture. Now, by an Old Testament type, I mean a person or a thing which by appointment of God prefigured an aspect or various aspects of Christ or of His church. Now, the word type is not found in the authorized King James Version of your Bible. But nevertheless, it's the same word used in the Greek that's translated in several passages throughout the Bible. For example, in Romans 5 and 14, it's translated as the word figure. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, it's translated as the word example. And in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5, it's translated as the word pattern. Almost every detail of Joseph's recorded life is prophetic of some aspect of the Lord Jesus. Like Christ, Joseph shines forth from the pages of Holy Scripture as practically flawless. He was not actually sinless, for he possessed the same corrupt nature that any other child of Adam has. But it did not please God to speak of any of his flaws or his blemishes, which his eye, not ours, would have discerned. But God rather chose to emphasize the faithfulness and the practical godliness of this man named Joseph. Now, because of the character of Joseph, God elevated him to a position on the throne of Egypt. And at this point in our text, Joseph has invited his brothers to his home where they will await his arrival at noontime. Now, likewise, and here's where we need to perk up and listen right here, because likewise, God has also made an invitation that we too can come and live in his home. Like Joseph, Jesus is coming back at an appointed time. And like Joseph's brothers, we are instructed to be ready when he returns. Brother Jesse and I sit on the front row this morning talking, and he said he's heard over and over and over people saying, "I'm getting ready." I remember there was a bluegrass group down in Florida. And fine godly men they are, and good group. But they used to sing a song down there called, "I'm Getting Ready to Leave This World." And as Brother Jesse and I talked this morning, I don't want to be getting ready when God comes. Because if I'm getting ready when He comes, I'm not ready, and therefore He won't take me. Folks, I need to understand, I need to be ready for when God comes. You need to be ready for when God comes. Someone may say, "Well, preacher, I'm getting it all worked out. I'm working on this thing, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that." Hey, it's not yours to work on. It's God's to give it unto Him and let God transform your life. And if God transforms your life, you'll be ready for when Jesus comes. Now, with full certainty, And I say this with every certainty in my bones, with full certainty. I know that Jesus is going to come one day and call His bride home. I know that just as sure as I'm standing here today. I know it just as sure as there's breath in my lungs and blood in my body, that one day Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds of glory and He is going to rapture His church away. I know that for an absolute fact. But sadly, there are innumerable multitudes that don't believe this and or are not ready for His return. And yet for many, His return also will not come in the clouds of glory. And you say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Because for some of you and I here today, His return is not going to come in the clouds of glory. His return is going to come by death. We're going to die one day if Jesus doesn't rapture us away. If Jesus doesn't come during my lifetime. Brother Jesse and I was talking this morning as well. And I like sitting there with him. We talk about things. And we pick each other's brains a little bit. And you always hear people say, well, if God doesn't tarry, then this will happen or that will happen or whatever. The Bible makes it very clear that God will not tarry. That's exactly what the Word of God says. So the next time you hear somebody say, if God tarries, you just stop them right there and say, hey, God doesn't tarry. God doesn't tarry. There is an appointed time that Jesus is going to come back. And if that appointed time is not during my lifetime, then I'm going to face Him one day through death. And for many folks today, sadly, for countless thousands and thousands and thousands, they are simply not ready for the day that they're going to meet Jesus. And folks, these individuals have nothing more to hope for than what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews is a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which God states will devour all of His adversaries. You say, well, I'm not an adversary of God. Well, can I tell you something? The Bible says either you're for Him or you're against Him. And if you're against Him, what does that make you? That makes you an adversary of God. See, we talked in Sunday school class this morning about sitting on the fence. And a lot of folks, they want to try to straddle the fence. They want to just sit on top and play around with Jesus just enough so they can get to heaven, but then play around with the world and enjoy all the pleasures the world has to offer them and all these things. And they think they can walk one hand with God and one hand with the world, and somehow when they reach the end of the line, God's going to pull them harder than the world did and get them over to His side so they can go into heaven. Folks, it doesn't work that way. That simply is a figment of man's imagination. Either you're for God or you're against God. Either you make a choice to receive Christ as your Savior or you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell. It's that simple this morning. But thankfully, God has made provision for you and I through His Son Jesus Christ so that no one will have to miss out when the King comes. Aren't you glad Jesus made provision for you? I'm glad He made provision for me. And today I'm gonna ask you some very pointed questions. Most all of my sermons I'll give you points. But today I'm going to ask you questions that all of us are going to have to answer. Every one of us are going to have to answer these questions. And this morning, by the help of the Lord, I simply want to preach a little message entitled, When the King Comes Home. When the King Comes Home. The first question I want to ask you this morning is, will you be ready when the King comes home? Will you be ready when the King comes home? Because it's not important to your eternal soul whether I'm ready for when the King comes home. And it's not important to this side over here whether this side's ready when the King comes home. You've got to ask yourself the question, are you ready right now if the King came home? If the King calls His church away, will you still be in the pew this morning because you've been left behind? If Jesus comes by way of death and calls, as the old saying is, your number, and you leave this life and you stand before the presence of this awesome God, are you ready right now to meet this holy God? Are you ready for when the king comes home? Because I want you to look here about Joseph here. Because in verse number 25, the Bible said, they, meaning the 11 brothers, made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon. For they heard that they should eat bread there. And there's two things about this question. Will you be ready when the king comes home? And the first part of that question is, have you heeded the seriousness of the moment? Have you heeded the seriousness of the moment? The Bible says they made ready the present because they knew Joseph was coming home at noon. And I wonder how many of us, if we knew that Jesus Christ, I've got about 11 minutes to noon right now. If we knew that Jesus Christ was coming at 12 noon, I wonder how many of us in here would be down on this altar right now. I wonder how many of us would have, that I've never seen on the altar before, be down here on this altar at some point in time. I wonder how many of us would have to do that because you know exactly when He's coming and you want to make sure you're ready. You don't want to be getting ready, but you want to make sure you are ready for the time that He shows up. You know in 11 minutes He's going to be here. Can I tell you right now that in 11 minutes He could be calling you. He could be calling you in 11 seconds. And I want to know, have you heeded the seriousness of the call? Or if He found you right now, would He find you wallowing in sin? Would He find you wallowing in anger and bitterness and hatefulness and strife? Would He find you wallowing in those things? Have you heeded the seriousness of the moment? Folks, they made ready the present for him, because they knew at noontime, buddy, the king's come in. At noontime, Joseph, the one that we're relying on for sustenance, the one we're relying on for provision, the one we're relying on to keep us alive, he's coming home at noontime, and we need to get serious about this. Can I tell you that there's a day and there's an hour that's appointed by God that not even the angels of heaven know about, that Jesus Christ is coming one day and he will call his bride home. And I want to know, folks, that's a serious thing. Have you heeded the seriousness of it? The Bible says, for it is, and listen to this. You want to know how serious? Get your eyes up here. Let me tell you why it's serious. Because the Bible said, for it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's why it's so serious. Folks, the Bible makes it clear it's not God's will that any should perish. Jesus Christ went to the cross, shed His blood, give you the offer of grace and mercy so that you don't have to die. But folks, if you reject and reject and reject and reject, there's only one thing to look for, and that's the indignation of God. Because yes, preacher, but God is a loving God, is He not? Absolutely He is, or He wouldn't have sent His only begotten Son. I don't know if I'd send my Son for you. I highly doubt I would. Just to be downright honest about it, without trying to hurt your feelings, but I doubt I'd give Him up for you. Now, if He wanted to do it on His own, that's up to Him. But I doubt I'd give Him for you. But you know what? God gave Him for you. He gave His only begotten Son for you. And you know what? He loved you that much. Hey, this thing's serious. I get tired of playing church. I get tired of people that can't get right with God and can't stay right with God. Good Lord, have mercy. On fire one day, down in the dumps the next day. Something comes in, happy as can be, next day so mad they could chew a nail in half. Let me tell you something, man. It's time you get on the foundation of God. Get right with God. Stay right with it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you know I don't believe in eternal security. I'm just going to tell you what it is, brother. Let me tell you something. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. I've never read Brother Jesse in that book, when a man dies out of fellowship with God, does he enter into fellowship with God when he's done? It's never in the Word of God. But people can't get in one day, out the next, in one day, and out the next day. Folks, this thing is more serious than that. God doesn't want us playing tiddlywinks with Him. But folks, this is our eternal soul. And you know, you say, preacher, that's awful hard. Let me tell you something. I was there. That's why I know. For years I played around on God. For years I've done these things. Made a profession as a kid. Somebody told me I got saved. 2 weeks later we borrowed another church's baptismal. And I went and got baptized in the baptismal. Wore the white baptism gown. And the pastor stood there and raised his hand. And said, on your profession. The only reason I profess because he told me what to say. And on your profession of faith. He baptized me. You know what? I went back to school. And I started telling people I got baptized. And things, they started making fun of me. You know what happened? I stopped telling people. And then they start making fun of me because I went to church. And I stopped telling people I went to church. Then they started making fun of me for this, so I wanted to fit in. So if they'd cuss, I'd cuss. If they'd tell the dirty jokes, I'd tell the dirty jokes. Then as I became a teenager, I decided, you know what? Hey, if I'm going to be cool, I've got to run with the crowd. And when I was 15 years old, I began to take my first drinks. And by the time I was 16, I was drinking six packs. By the time I was 17, I could put down 12. By the time I was 18, I could put almost 24 of them down. And I never stopped until I was laid out cold. I was one of them guys you'd call a binge drinker. I'd start at 7 o'clock at night and I wouldn't get done until about 3 in the morning and I'd be laid flat out cold because I put them down as fast as I could get them. Let me tell you something. I started doing drugs when I was 18 years old. And you know what happened? Somebody had told me, you know what? You made a profession. Somebody told me, you know what? We'd baptize you. Somebody told me these things, and I thought I was all right. One day Jesus came in and told me the truth. Bless God. I'm glad you can know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Had a girl show me one time picture a few years back, Brother Jesse. I was at a party, and there I was, me and my buddies, and we was all sitting our arms wrapped around each other, and we had our beers stuck up in the sky. And I had a cigar in my mouth and I was a smoking. I love cigars. And I'd smoke cigars. And I'd sit there and I'd hold that up. And she showed me that picture. She said, you remember that night? I looked at it. I handed it back. I said, no, I don't. She said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. I said, that man's dead. That man's dead. That's not the same one that you see now. Oh, he may look the same. He's a little bit heavier and older, but he looks the same, basically. And you know what? He's not the same one. He's not the same guy anymore. You know, I stopped playing around. I stopped playing around. Some of that stuff had to go away. All that laying around stuff had to stop. All this other junk went by the wayside. Because when Jesus came in on the room that night, glory to God, it was either give it all to Him or die in your sin. And you know what I did? I said, God, it's yours. You can have it. I don't want to die in my sin. And not only do I not want to die in it, I don't want to live in it. See, there's a difference, right? A lot of folks don't want to die in their sin, but they like living in their sin, brother. Let me tell you something. I don't want to die in sin, but don't want to live in sin neither. Hallelujah. God brought somebody else on the scene. Glory to God. I've got a new name now. Hallelujah. I've got a new personality now. I've got a new spirit now. And he walks after the image and righteousness of God. But you're just too strict there, preacher. You know what? You got all kinds of these things. Let me tell you something right now. You say I'm strict if you want to. But I tell you, I'm doing everything that I want to do. Glory to God. I'm enjoying my life. And don't you tell me that I ain't neither. Because I've been on the other side of the track. And I know what it's like, Brother Jeff, to be on that side. If I'm strict, glory to God, let me be strict for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing some of the things I see. I'm tired of hearing some of the filth that I hear. I'm tired of these things going on. I'm tired of a president telling us we're a Muslim nation. I'm tired of Brad Pitt telling me there's no God. I'm tired of these things. Let me tell you something. It's too late to be telling me that now, because I done met him a long time ago. I know he's real. Hallelujah. And he changed me. You know why he changed me? Because I heeded the seriousness of the moment. I heeded the seriousness of the moment. Because I knew, Brother Eric, there might not be another opportunity, brother. There might not be another opportunity. I'll tell you a little story happened to me when I was 19 years old. We were up, buddies of mine, in a pickup truck, four-wheel drive. And we used to like going four-wheeling, what we called it then. Y'all call it with a four-wheeler now, but we call it with trucks. It's off-roading is what it was. And we took an old mountain gravel road up to the top of the mountain behind Irwin, Tennessee. And we were heading up on the mountain. And I was in the back with a buddy of mine that played football in high school. He had a big old boy, strong. And I was in the back there with him. And that truck had a lot of ruts in there, a lot of curves and things. And there was three stuffed in the front cab of that thing. There's five of us all together. Three of them stuck in the front cab of that thing. It just so happened there was another car going in front of us. We had all been drinking all night. We was as drunk as we could be. And the guy that was driving was just as drunk. And every time he'd hit one of them ruts, Brother Eric, he'd hit that gas. And we'd come up off like it right there. And we'd come hit back down again. And we was in the back of the truck, Brother Donald. We was in the bed, brother. And we'd hop up and come down off that bed. And we was so stupid. We'd, woo, that's good, you know. I mean, ignorant. Just dumb, you know. Brother Mitch, that's all I can say. And we'd, woo, you know, man, do it again. Yeah, man, you know. And all of a sudden, he come up on that dark night. This was after midnight. It's on a weekend. And he didn't see the road turn. Just like a 90-degree turn. He hit a rut, hit that gas, and we jumped, and the road went that way. And down we went. And we went off the side of that mountain. And the only thing that saved us that night, my buddy that was a football player fell out the back of the truck. He would have been the only one that lived had we'd kept going. When he fell out of the back of the truck, he fell on the back of his head, and his mouth clamped down like that, and he bit his tongue off. And we went down, and I mean, I'm bouncing all over the back of that thing. And them guys are hanging on in the front. And the front axle of that old souped-up four-wheel drive truck got stuck on about a piece of a tree stump that was sticking up. And we went, boom, and we come to a dead stop right then. And we're looking across, and all you could see was just a ravine. I realized something looking back on my life. I realized God has been good to me. I realized I could be in hell right now. But I realized, thanks be to God, I am what I am, Brother Eric, by the grace of God. I didn't deserve to live. I deserved to die in my sin. I deserved to be in a burning hell today. But glory to God, I am what I am by His grace. He saved me. He changed me. And you know what? I used to sin. I used to like it. I'll tell you, I'd lie to you if I tell you I didn't like it. I like to drink. I like to smoke. I like to do drugs. I like laying around. I liked all those things. But you know what I've got now? I despise them all now. Let me tell you something. When you get a hold of Jesus, your whole perspective and things change. Those things I used to like, I can't stand anymore, Brother Jesse. And those things that I didn't like then, like going to church, listening to gospel music and things like that. You know what? And walking like a Christian. I didn't like those things. But hallelujah, I can't get enough of them now. I'm trying to find services to go to. I'm trying to find churches to go to. Like last night, Brother Richard, you was there. We went over down to Mount Perrin. And J.B. and Barbara and Kevin Spencer was singing last night. We went to church down there last night. I said, son, let me tell you something. The best thing you'll get today out of your birthday is we're going to church. Glory to God, we went to church. And for 2.5 hours, we shouted. Brother Richard, I tell you, we shouted that place down in there. Let me tell you something. Why? Because something about God, I just can't get enough of Him. I've got to have more of Him. I can't get enough. I've got to read my Bible every day. I've got to pray every day. I've got to go to church when the doors are open because I can't get enough of Him for what He's done for me. Hey, why? Why? Because I heeded the seriousness of the call. I'm going to skip everything I got here and get to the last. I want you to look at this right here. I want you to look. Hey, will you be ready when the king comes home? I'm going to skip it all right here. And give me about 5 minutes. Will you be rewarded when the king comes home? I had something else before that, but let's just skip it. Will you be rewarded when the king comes home? Look what Joseph did for these old boys. Number one, it's in the king's house that you can experience God's passion. Well, preacher, I just can't feel God anymore. When's the last time you went to church regularly? Preacher, I just can't get my life straightened out. When's the last time you went 7 days in a row and read your Bible and prayed? Hey, you know what? I don't make excuses when I mess up. I don't blame anybody else. Me. My fault. I done it. If I miss out, Brother Parnell, if I miss out on God, it's my fault, Brother, I missed out on Him.
Will you be rewarded? See, it's in the king's house you'll find passion. Look at what he said in verse number 30. He said, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. Oh, hallelujah. When they got in there, they didn't realize who Joseph was. They didn't realize that was their long lost brother. But his bowels yearned and they experienced the passion of this man. They didn't understand it. They couldn't figure it out at the time. But oh God, I'm telling you today, you can find passion when you're in the king's house. Matthew 23 and 37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing. You ever seen a hen just get them little old chicks and spread her wings out and just put them right on in there? I used to raise chickens for a few years, me and my wife with her dad. And you know what? Them little hens just hang right there at that, them chicks hang right there at that hen. She just pull them wings out and get them right over there and around her. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, how often would I have done that for you? He said, but you would not. You would not. It's in the king's house that you'll experience God's passion. It's in the king's house that you'll gain your rightful position. It's in the king's house that you'll gain your rightful position. Listen to me. They didn't understand what was going on, but Joseph knew who they were and knew how old they were. And he said, now I'm going to set them from the oldest to the youngest. And by the way, I'm not going to set them with the Egyptians, because I know the Egyptians believe that's an abomination. By the way, you're not to be sitting with the world. I'll say that again if about five people amen that. You're not to be sitting in the seat of the sinners or the seat of the scornful, standing with the sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. But your delight is to be in the law of the Lord, and on it do you meditate day and night. And Joseph said, now, I'm going to sit here. All of my helpers are going to sit here, and y'all are going to sit here. And I want the oldest here, then next, and next, and next, and next, and next. And the Bible said they looked at each other and they marveled. You know what it tells me, though? It tells me that when I get into the king's house, he'll place me in the right position. Glory to God. Glory. He'll put me in the right position. They sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest from his youth. The Bible says in Revelation 4:4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiments, and they had on their head crowns of gold. You know who those 24 elders are? That's the redeemed church. That's the redeemed of God, sitting around the throne of God. And there they are on their own seats, clothed in white raiments with crowns of gold on their heads. And you know what? Sitting in the right position. And in the king's house, you'll enjoy God's provision. You'll enjoy God's provision when you're in the king's house. Because the Bible said that Joseph here, he took and he sent messes. I mean, that means he gave them food. He took and sent messes unto them from before him. So he lays plates of food down in front of them. And then there's old Benjamin right there. And at the very end, Benjamin gets a big old plate. Five times larger than the rest of them. But you know what? Had they not went to the king's house, they'd have got nothing. They'd have got nothing. And folks, it's in the king's house that you enjoy God's provision. Are you lacking today? Are you having a hard time right now with provision? Are you having a hard time financially? Are you having a hard time with your checkbook or your wallet or whatever the case might be? Are you having a hard time? Hey, can I just tell you where the secret is to get that thing straightened out? Get in the king's house. Get in the king's house. Don't run away from God. You've heard me say this time and time again. Don't run away from God when trouble comes. Don't run away from God when you make a mistake. Don't run away from God when you fall on your face. Get up, turn around, run to God every time. When you run to God, He'll provide provision for you that you need. All of a sudden, you'll see some things happen. The last thing's this. I'm done. I told you 5 minutes. Look, I got 30 seconds left. It's in the king's house. Now listen to this right here. Out of all this, I think this is the most important one of the bunch right here. It's in the king's house that you'll expel your pride. It's in the king's house you'll expel your pride. Verse 34, he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. Now, back when Joseph was getting all the attention, what was those boys' attitude? Well, Joseph got the coat. Joseph's always hanging out with Dad, and we're always down here in the field having to work. Joseph gets everything he wants. There's always Joseph. A lot of people do that today, don't they? Look at them rich people down there. They got everything. Might be a reason you ain't got it. You ever think about that? You might be lazy. You might not have made smart financial decisions in life. Hey, they're rich for a reason. You know, some of it's crooked, I know. But if they're honest and they're rich, praise God, let them have it. I'm glad they got it. And don't bother me because I ain't got it. Brother Mitch, I ain't getting it, brother. So if they got it, let them have it. I ain't getting it. You know? But here they are. People walk around with the nose stuck up in the air. This one's got that. Man, got that. I didn't get nothing. You know. What you want to look at them and say, why don't you grow up? But you know what? All of a sudden things changed when they got in the king's house. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the reward is that Richard's going to get when he gets to heaven. It doesn't matter what the reward is that Elton's going to get when he gets to heaven. It doesn't matter what Brother Tim's going to get when he gets to heaven. All that matters to me is I heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And here they got it. Just line them all up. He comes over to Reuben there and he lays a plate down. Reuben says, boy, that looks good. And he goes to the next one. Boom, and boom, and boom, and boom. And he goes all the way down. And boys are looking at it going, man, that's good. And all of a sudden Benjamin comes out. You can see him carrying Benjamin's out. And boom, and there's this big plate load of stuff. And them boys are looking at each other. Man. And you know what? Did they start crying about it because Benjamin had more than they did now? They did when it was with Joseph. But were they crying about it now? No, the Bible said they ate, they drank, and they were merry. You know what, folks? When you get into the king's house, you won't have to worry about pride. Glory to God. See, when you're in the king's house, it doesn't matter about pride. It doesn't matter about pride. I don't care what you drove in with this morning. I don't care if you go home to a house that's got 12 bedrooms and 6 bathrooms. Because, hey, you got to clean it all. I don't. You know, it doesn't matter. You know? You got it? Praise God. If you don't, praise God anyway. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, can I tell you something today? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're here today and there's a lack or a shortage in your life, if you're here today and there's pride, there's anger, there's bitterness, there's whatever the case might be, let me tell you something right now. I just encourage you, get in the king's house. Get in the king. If you get in the king's house, man, none of that stuff will matter anymore. You get in the king's house, hey, you'll know everything will be provided for you. Hey, glory to God, and God will change the way you look at things. Would you stand this morning? Brother Mike, you and Sister Cammy, they're going to sing an invitation song for you this morning. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment as they come. You might be here this morning. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You know, and whether you realize it, because you may be here today and you may have all the wealth of this world and you're not lacking for anything as it pertains to man's provision. But you know what? You're lacking the greatest provision that you'll ever need in life, and that's the provision of God's grace on your soul. That's the provision of the blood of Jesus. And you know what? What would it profit a man if he'd gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You're here today and you say, preacher, you know what? God has dealt with my heart. I realize today I'm in lack. I may not look like I'm in lack. And if you looked at my financial status, I wouldn't be in lack there. But you know what? I realize today I'm in lack. I don't have Jesus. God spoke to me today that I need His Son. And preacher, when you pray, would you pray for me?
God's dealing with my heart. This won't save you, but let me know that you're concerned about your soul this morning. And you'd say, preacher, pray for me when you pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to pray for you. God loves you. You'd slip your hand up this morning and say, preacher, pray for me. I know that I'm not saved. I'm in lack right now. Spiritually speaking, I'm in lack. Preacher, would you pray for me? Is there one right now? I'm concerned about my soul. I'm not ready if the King would come home. I'm not ready right now. In a church this size and a crowd this large, there'd be one right now. I'll wait on you just a moment. I'll wait on you just a moment. Or you may say, preacher, you know what? I'm saved. But to be honest with you, I've been straddling that fence like Brother Jesse taught in Sunday school this morning. I've been straddling that fence. I got one hand in the world and one hand trying to hang on to God, and it's tearing and pulling me, and I can't get no relief. I can't find any peace. I keep going from one thing to the next. I try this, I try that, and none of it satisfies me. Preacher, would you pray for me this morning? Would there be a one right now? Nobody's looking at you. Nobody will come to you. I promise you. I wouldn't do a thing to embarrass you. But you'd say, preacher, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up where I can see it so I can pray for you this morning? God bless that hand. Would there be another? I promise you, I won't embarrass you in any way. Would there be another? Preacher, would you pray for me? And I want to know tonight or this morning. You'd say, preacher, you know what? Spiritually, I'm doing fine. You know, everything's going well right now as far as that goes. Everything's well right now. But you know what? Financially, physically, maybe emotionally, there's lack. My checkbook's really taking a hit. My health is not what I'd want it to be. Man, I'm worried about everything, and my emotional state's not where it ought to be. And preacher, God's dealing with me today, and I want to turn it over to Him. I'm just having such a hard time doing it. Preacher, would you pray for me today? Well, nobody's looking around, and I promise you, I won't come to you. I already see a hand already. I see more hands right there. Who else? There's another one. Who else? You say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me when you pray. Pray for me. Is there any other hands today? Well, they're going to sing a song, and I believe it's very, very appropriate for this moment and this message. I'm going to pray for you right now, and I'm going to pray for others here as well. Because I don't doubt there shouldn't have been other hands. But I want you to know that Jesus loves you today, and He wants to put you on a solid foundation. And boy, I tell you the blessings you'll find in the King's house this morning. God, I thank You for Your Word. God, I didn't preach all of that was in there this morning, but God, I believe You can use what we did. You know our hearts, God. We did it in sincerity. God, there's been hands raised, Father. Lord, they've acknowledged needs in their life. Lord, they've acknowledged there's lack somewhere, spiritually, maybe financially, emotionally, physically. God, there's lack. God, I pray that You might meet their needs, Lord. God, whatever the situation, whatever the case is, Lord, I know that You're a need-meeting God. I know You can do it. But God, I pray that as Lord, in a signal of their exercising faith in You, God, when this invitation is given and this song is beginning to sing, Lord, I pray that they would step out of their seat and come to this old-fashioned altar, God, just simply signifying, Lord, that I'm putting my trust in You today. God, if they need to confess, let them confess. If they need to just call on You for assistance, God, let them come. Lord, and I don't doubt there should have been other hands that should have been raised this morning. Even now, God, work on their hearts. And even now, God, when this song is sung, draw them, Lord, I pray. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As they sing, do you need to come this morning?
He has riches untold in His storehouse above, and it's mine for the asking.
It's yours for the asking.
Freely given.
James says many times we don't have.
There's healing for my body, salvation for my soul.
Listen.
Listen to this.
My mind is at rest, for I'm safe in the fold. In God's
Who else
big
else storehouse. This hey, God's got a big storehouse. You don't have to go home, right? You don't have to go home in lack.
Little children, they can be
this is yours
satisfied.
Right now. You can be satisfied this morning. God loves you.
You ask, oh,
well, she's
saying
that right now.
To do.
Come on.
And God's big storehouse, my friend, it's open to you.
Come on, as a show of your faith in Christ. Step out. You know God will help you. Come on. Don't be ashamed of Him. He loves you.
If you're sad and so lonely, He'll be by your side.
Come on.
If your world's filled with darkness, oh, He'll send the light.
He has everything you need.
In every situation, I know He'll see you through. For in God's great big storehouse, there are provisions for you.
There is. It's yours for the asking. That's how easy it is to accept what God has for you.
A vast supply where all God's little children, they can be satisfied.
Come on, there's still those coming right now. Come on.
You ask, oh, He's able.
He loves you. He has everything you need, I promise you.
And God's big storehouse, my friend, it's open.
Hey, there's no need that's too trivial for God. Hey, come on. I'm going to ask them to keep singing this morning. If I have to, sing the verses over again. And I'm going to tell you, there's no need too trivial for God this morning. He loves you, and He wants to meet every need. It doesn't matter what it is. He'll meet your need because He said, my God shall supply all of your needs. It's yours. Your needs this morning. He'll supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He loves you today. Come on.
He has riches untold in His storehouse above. And it's mine for the asking, freely given in love. There's healing.
Come on.
For my
Come on,
body,
you need healing for your body this morning.
Salvation for my soul. My mind is at rest.
Some of you need to lay some worries and some burdens aside. Get your mind at rest. Come on.
God's big storehouse, there is a vast supply where all God's little children, they can be satisfied.
He loves you.
Whatever you ask, oh, He's able.
Think about that. Whatever you ask, He's able to do.
God's big storehouse, my friend, it's open to you.
Come on.
If you're sad and so lonely,
come on. Turn your sadness to
your side.
Come on.
If your world
turn your loneliness
filled with darkness,
get somebody to walk by your side.
The light.
Come on.
In every situation, He'll see you through. For in God's great big storehouse, there are provisions.